The UNLSA acknowledges that we are recording on the traditional country of the Awabakal and Waramai peoples and pays respects to the elders both past and present. Welcome to the UNLSA podcast. I'm your host, Alex Connolly, and you are tuning into the Careers in Family Law episode. I'm joined today by two guests. The first is Brioni Manning, who is a specialist accredited family lawyer at the Hunter Community Legal Centre.
Hello.
Hi, Brioni. And the second I'm here with today is Joplin Higgins, the Director and Managing Partner of Joplin Lawyers, a family law firm with offices in the Hunter Valley.
Hi.
Hi, Joplin. Just to get us started, what first inspired you to get into family law? And we'll go to you first, if that's all right, Brioni.
I really didn't have a burning desire to be a lawyer. What really inspired me to get into family law was doing family law at university. And I just found that I had a passion for it, and that's all I wanted to do.
Oh, for sure. And a note from our talking earlier that you didn't actually start off doing law in university. Is that correct?
No. So I first started off doing nursing, and after a year, I decided I wanted to change over to arts. And then I did my arts degree. Then I did honours in arts. I did honours in classics. And I was a bit at sea, didn't really know what I wanted to do after that. I really wanted to do my master's in classics and then do a PhD, but job opportunities are fairly scarce in that sort of area. My mum suggested to me that I do graduate law. I thought about it and I said, okay, I'll do that.
Well, that's a good enough path as any for sure. What about you, Joplin?
So I wanted to be a criminal lawyer, and I had positioned myself. I went to James Cook University and positioned myself with a criminal law firm. And so I was a law clerk there. And then after I finished uni, I don't know, I had been away from family for so long that I decided to move back to Wagga Wagga, where my parents were living. And I went for a job, and the job was basically just a junior lawyer. And then when I got there, the partner said, oh, well, you're a girl, you'll be good at family law. And I said, okay, well, yeah, I'll do family law. So, and then it was just one job after another, and that's where my skill set began. I think now that I wish I wasn't so one-dimensional and that I had other skills, perhaps in contractual law and those sorts of things. So I think you need to think about that when you are a junior lawyer. But that's the path that I was, you know, destined for, and here I am today.
Okay, well, that's quite interesting. So you didn't actually start off wanting to do the family law, but sort of got edged into it almost a little bit at the place you were at.
Yeah, and I really loved criminal law, and I excelled at criminal law at uni. I did family law and I really liked it, but I really loved human rights law. So I saw myself really being in that, you know, in that part of the fraternity. But yeah, I did quite a bit of criminal law. And to be honest, if you asked me to do criminal law today, I wouldn't do it. If you get it wrong or you don't win, someone's liberties are deprived. So I did find that quite difficult. And I probably, you know, that's why I floated through family law and didn't, you know, try to move my career towards criminal law, is because I actually, when I got into the, you know, the guts of it, I actually didn't love it as much as I thought I was going to love it.
Joplin, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now? I mentioned earlier that you're the managing partner of Joplin Lawyers, which has got three different offices around.
I solely do family law. I do a little bit of care and protection as well, because I like the children's aspect of that. Joplin Lawyers probably is known as being a family law firm throughout the Hunter Valley. I started Joplin Lawyers back in 2013, and I really saw that there was a market for women who were self-representing because they didn't have the funds to have a lawyer. So I identified a hole in the marketplace, and because, you know, traditionally the men have been in the mines up here and have the bigger incomes, I found that women were really struggling. So we offered a service, and we completely tailored our brand to women, and in particular women who were experiencing domestic violence. So that's what I do at Joplin Lawyers.
Brioni, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now at the Hunter Community Legal Centre?
Okay, so I'm one of three family lawyers at the Hunter Community Centre. So we basically assist self-represented people who can't afford a lawyer or who don't get legal aid for whatever reason. So we run a free telephone advice line 3 days a week during certain hours, so people can ring on that advice line. We take their name, their number, and then one of our three solicitors gets back and gives them telephone advice. Before COVID, we would also do face-to-face appointments with people where we thought it was appropriate. We do assist some people on an ongoing basis, so we open files for certain matters. A lot of those would be property matters, very small sort of property matters. Prior to COVID, we also ran the duty service.
Okay, so can you tell our listeners who might not be as familiar what the duty service involves?
So the duty service just basically ran on the weeks when the court had their duty list running. So one of our three solicitors would be rostered on one of those days. So we just go up to the court. We had a room there, and any self-represented person who wants legal advice or assistance on the day can come and see us and we can help them. Sometimes it's only legal advice and assistance, but more often than not, we do go into court and represent them in court.
Before we started, we spoke a little bit about how business in certain areas of family law are actually picking up in the COVID times. Jacqueline, did you want to speak to that at all?
So over the pandemic, I found that a lot of long relationships, so 25 and 30 year old relationships, really came to an end. I found that we had an influx of domestic violence victims come through the firm. So we did a number of short videos, which we posted on social media as information for victims and, you know, predominantly women and children, on how they could safely leave the relationship, you know, and what they needed to do for early intervention and those sorts of things. And that was just a tool for us to still be able to communicate with the community at large. And so we used it as an opportunity to educate those people in the community that may not have organically come into contact with us.
Briani, I can only imagine what kind of influx you might have seen at the Hunter Community Legal Centre.
Yeah, we did get quite busy, but I can't say I noticed any change in the type of matters. I thought that we might have less property matters. I thought people might be a little bit circumspect about doing a property settlement during COVID times because perhaps, you know, the property wouldn't sell for as much, etc. But that hasn't seemed to be the case. And we normally would run our telephone advice lines before COVID. It was on a Monday and Friday between 10 and 12 and on a Wednesday between 2 and 4. But during these COVID times, for a while, I think we were running it 5 days a week, all day. But now we're just running it the Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9:30 till 4. So we've opened it up so people can have more access, obviously, to obtaining legal advice during this time.
Briani, based on our conversations earlier, I know that you didn't end up straight away in the Hunter Community Legal Centre and you actually practiced at a private firm for a time. What can you talk about in terms of the difference between that private practice versus at the legal centre?
Yeah, I was in private practice for about 12 years before I went to the Hunter Community Legal Centre, and I've been there for about 7 years now. For me, I did a lot of legal aid work when I was working in a private firm. So for me, transitioning from private practice to the Hunter Community Legal Centre wasn't a big leap in terms of that.
Jacqueline, do you have anything to add?
So I worked for legal aid. I was their first employee in their early intervention unit. So I worked for legal aid for 2 years, and I have to say to you, it was honestly one of the best 2 years of my practice. I enjoyed working for the Legal Aid Commission immensely. I think the only reason I don't work for them now is because I moved and there was no legal aid where I moved to. So lots of differences between legal aid and private practice. But, you know, in our private practice, we still do a lot of legal aid. My firm in Maitland predominantly does solely legal aid. And, you know, I think students need to understand that if you do go into private practice, you do have budgets. You are expected to meet your budgets. You need to have good time management. You need to have a strategy in every matter that you have. You need to be looking at how is it that you can finalise a matter, because I think junior lawyers in particular think that if they run a matter for 3 years, that that's how you make money out of a matter, and that's just not the case. Short, quick matters are some of the best ways to make your budget. So I think that that's something you don't learn at university, and it's absolutely a skill that you need to hone very, very quickly within the first 12 months of your career, is how to meet your budget and how to, you know, because if you meet your budget, it means a pay rise. So, you know, they all go hand in hand.
And Joplin, at your firm, Joplin Lawyers, what opportunities do you offer for graduate lawyers or any solicitor really at all who is looking to do that sort of legal aid work?
So firstly, Alex, we really encourage the University of Newcastle students to come and do their PLT with us. We take it really seriously, the training that we do with the students. And we find that we don't have a lot of students that want to come up to Singleton because it's not in Newcastle. But I would say to students, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but I do want to make this point to the students today. You learn so much from smaller regional firms. Don't ever miss the opportunity to go and work for a regional firm and, you know, broaden your horizon, because there's so much more out there than the larger firms, particularly when you are a junior lawyer. I've had many friends that went to larger firms and they didn't get the experience that I did in the first 2 years of being a solicitor, because they just, you know, they just weren't thrown in the deep end and they weren't, you know, sent to court and all of those sorts of things. And you only learn by doing. So that would be my plea to all these students that listen to this: take the opportunity to go to regional areas. In regards to graduate solicitors, we do a lot of legal aid. So we have a lot of training with our junior lawyers, and it starts from administration. So if you can't just go from uni into the courtroom, and it's really important to understand that, because sometimes it's a bit frustrating with graduate lawyers when they don't want to learn the intricacy of the business. And to be a good lawyer, I think you need to know how reception works. You need to know how accounts works. You need to know how the managing lawyer works. You need to know how your senior lawyer works, those sorts of things. I had sensational training as a junior lawyer, and I was put out in the reception desk for 3 months, and I had to follow the receptionist, because it is so important that you know how to answer a phone, that you know how to make an appointment, that you know how to communicate on a normal level with people on a daily basis, because sometimes that communication skill gets lost. And sometimes if you don't have good communication, I really do not think that you can be a good lawyer. Effective communication is our biggest rule. So if you come to my firm, that's the training program that we have for our graduate lawyers. And then it moves into, you know, sitting in with us, doing advices, doing research, reading subpoena material, which is just the best playground to understand how a matter works, and then drafting, and then finally getting your own workload and progressing through to being able to do, you know, private legal aid matters and assisting those in the community pro bono work.
Briony, I'll switch back to you if that's all right. Well, what would you say are the skills that have helped you most in your career as a family lawyer?
Well, communication is a very important aspect. A lot of our clients they're going through the worst period in their life. They're emotionally distraught, they're distressed, they're under great stress. When you communicate, less is more sometimes. You need to be succinct, and I think you need to be very compassionate and very empathetic for our clients. Eye contact's very important. I know probably when you're a junior solicitor, you're probably worried, oh, I've got to do this file note. So you're furiously writing down everything that your client says, but you're not connecting with them. You're just, you know, writing down everything they say. You're not gauging their reaction, how they're feeling, what are they saying. You know, you're just totally disconnected if you're going to do that. Yes, it's important to jot down a few things, but, you know, it's also important to maintain eye contact, connect with your client.
Just wanted to talk a little bit about what Briony said earlier, talking about how these people are here in very difficult times, and that the subject matter of what they want to discuss can be very confronting for them, and how it's important for lawyers in that situation to be able to empathise. I think there might be this sort of conception in our students' minds that when they think about family law, they think about all these difficult, highly emotional, stressful, sort of confrontational matters. Do you want to, like, can you talk at all about that and how that might be reflected in your experience?
100%. That perception is probably right. But there are clients that come in and are very amicable as well. And I think that if you're going to go into family law, that you need to look after your mental health. You need to look after the fact that there is quite a bit of vicarious trauma that we do as family lawyers. So it's important to have a good mental health regime. It's important to look after yourself. It's important to be able to say to your bosses, you know what, I need a mental health day. I need a day where I can just clear my mind and no emails. I really try to insist with my solicitors that when you finish at the end of the day, you have to be finished. There's no use finishing at work and then taking your computer home and then working for another 3 or 4 hours. That's just not good practice and it's not sustainable practice.
Briony, did you want to touch on that as well?
Yeah, it's very important to take care of your mental health. I think it's helpful if you have a mentor, and it's probably helpful if you have someone who is doing the same thing that you're doing at the same level that you're doing it, that you can talk with them about your work. Of course, you have to maintain confidentiality, you know, so you can't talk about specific matters and specific people. But, you know, I think it helps if you're able to talk.
Well, just on sort of getting back to the student life and I suppose what our students can do to get involved, was there anything that either of you did as students that sort of set you up particularly for family law, or like any opportunities you took, anything you would recommend for our students? Briony, I'll start with you if that's all right.
I mean, I would have loved to have done what Joplin was talking about, you know, at her firm, you know, maybe doing some work experience at her firm and, you know, starting off as a graduate, that sort of thing. You know, it would be good if as a student you had those opportunities to go to a law firm and volunteer or work there. And sometimes a lot of private practitioners are too busy to take that on, and I totally understand that. I know when I was trying to find my College of Law placement, it was very, very difficult, and really only one person replied. And at the end of the day, I was fortunate enough that person gave me a full-time job. But yeah, I mean, if you're really interested in it, and I guess if you want to know if it is a right fit for you, it would be good as a student to have that opportunity to go to a firm and work in a firm, either, you know, in a volunteer position and see whether you're suited for it.
I was just hoping that you might be able to share with us what your life was like the daily life as a family law practitioner. And I think our students in particular will be very interested in hearing about that. And Joplin, did you want to leave set yourself?
So I probably get up at about 5 o'clock each morning. I go through and do my emails and anything that I hadn't got on top of from the day before, just an hour, so that I've just got that hour start. And then, you know, I go to work and I'm drafting, I do mediations, you know, and we're in court. If you're a family lawyer, you're a court lawyer. So you have to have good advocacy skills. You have to understand what the high points of your case are and what the low points are. You know, because it's so personal and emotional to people, there's that constant contact that is often needed. So it's about building good rapport with your client. But I normally start my day fairly early and end fairly late. But I would not recommend that. I don't think that's good practice.
Briony, what about yourself? Do you have any sort of last minute advice for our students who might be thinking about a career in family law?
I would buy a master guide. That's always handy to have. I'd also buy the Annotated Family Law Act. It might also be useful to get the law handbook that's produced by the Redfern Legal Centre. They're just good go-to things, especially the Annotated Act, because it's got the Act in there. You obviously need to know the Act, you need to know law, and that's got some case law in it as well. So try to keep up to date with the law, obviously, with your case law. It can be difficult to do that because there is so much case law and it can be very overwhelming. And there's obviously a few key cases that you need to know, Good and Stanford and those sort of things. I guess also time limits are important in family law. That's certainly one thing that's extremely important at the HCLC. Any sort of advice that we do, we have to mark off that we've told the client various time limits. Manage your clients' expectations. And I think if you're going to get into family law, join some of those things like the family law section.
Well, thank you both to our guests, and that concludes our time. I just wanted to take this opportunity to once again thank our guests for dedicating their time and experience for the benefit of our students. I also just wanted to quickly thank the UNLSA committee for organising and mixing this recording. Once again, this has been a UNLSA podcast. I have been your host, Alex Connolly, and this was the Careers in Family Law episode.